Kedushin, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Hay 3:5. This Mishnah has two parts to it. The first part talks about Devarim Shebelev, things one thinks about in terms of conditions or stipulations he might have an objection to if they're not fulfilled, but he doesn't speak them out. So this is being taught over here because even though Rabbi Meir said that one must make a Tanai Kafu, he must say both sides of the condition if he's making conditions. So if he says something like, I'm going to marry her as long as she is rich, so then he doesn't have to make the other side of the equation. That's true, but he has to speak it out. If he doesn't speak it out, what he's objecting to, and a normal person can't be assumed to object to it, so then we say since he didn't speak it out, they're devarim shebelev, and therefore they are einam devarim. They don't count legally, they don't have no legal standing, and therefore even though he thought it, they don't restrict or impede the kinyan from happening. And therefore the Mishnah says, Hamakadesh asa isha, if a person married a woman, va'amar, and then after he's married to her, he says, Kesavar ha'isi shehi kohenes, v'rehi leviya. Listen, I thought that she was the daughter of a Kohen, but it turns out her father's actually a Levi. And therefore he's suggesting that if he would have known that beforehand, he wouldn't have married her, and therefore he's alleging this should be considered to be a mekach taos, acquisition, kinyan made under false pretenses. But he never spoke them out. And a normal person, although it's not unreasonable to say, listen, you want to marry a Cohen's daughter specifically, but since he didn't speak it out, as the Mishnah will say, that doesn't count. They're devarim shebelev, and therefore the marriage is binding. And similarly, if he says, Levia, I thought she was the daughter of a Levi, v'rehi kohenes, but it's not true. Her father's actually a Cohen. Or if he said, Ania, I thought she was a poor girl from a poor family, v'rehi ashira, but it turns out she's not. She's actually from a rich family. Or of Ashira, I thought she was from a rich family, which a person could also prefer. Some people prefer rich, some people because the standard of living is lower, etc. Some prefer richer because of status, etc. Varehi Ania, but she's not rich, she's actually poor. Harezo Mekodeshes, it doesn't matter, they're still married. Bipnei Shalo Hitatu, because she didn't deceive him. In other words, it goes without saying, but the Mishnah said it here, that if she misled him, and told him that she was from a rich family, and it was not true, he could say, listen, this was a mekach taos, it was a marriage made under false pretenses, and it could be annulled. But here she never said that. She didn't mislead him. He just was thinking in his head he had these preferences, but he didn't speak them out. He didn't make the marriage conditional upon them, and therefore, the marriage is binding. That's the first part of the Mishnah. The second part of the Mishnah now is talking about the principle of a davar shlo bo la'olam, something which hasn't yet come into existence. And the basic idea here is that when a person does a kinyan, he makes a kinyan, a transfer of rights, so the makne, the person who's transferring the rights, and the kohen, the one who's acquiring the rights, and the thing that's being acquired, all have to be in existence at the time of the kinyan. If they don't exist at the time of the kinyan, then the kinyan cannot take place. That's a general principle. And our mission will actually extend that further and say, even if all three of those elements do exist, but there's some halachic phenomenon which prevents, like forbids this transaction from happening, so then the transaction cannot happen. Even if one would say, you know, we'll do the Maisa Kinyan now, I'll give you the ring now, and then the Kinyan should take effect, you know, next week when the thing that's the current problem disappears. It doesn't matter. It has to be that all the elements that are required to effect the kinyan must be present at the current state when they do the ma'aseh kinyan, the actual action of, let's say, giving the ring, etc. Even if we're going to say that the marriage itself won't be in effect until next week. So therefore, the Mishnah says inside, Ha'omer le'isha, if one says to a woman, Hare'at mekudeshet li la'achar she'es gayer, he gives her a ring now, he says, here's the ring now, take it, and it will affect the kinyan of Ishus, will become married, after I convert next week, or whenever. I'll see use next week as any time in the future. So now we're going to say that's not going to work because the time he's giving her the ring, he's not Jewish yet. And the halacha is that a Jew and a non-Jew who try to marry one another, it's kedushin in antosin. It doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. Just cannot be affected. And therefore, since this guy is not currently Jewish, Kedusha is not applicable to him, and therefore you can't do the Maisa Kinyan. It won't work, even if it's supposed to only kick in once he's converted. Similarly, O la'acha shetis gairi, same would go if he gave her the ring and said, after you convert next week, we'll be married. Nope, because again, not eligible for marriage currently. La'acha she'eshtachrer, after I become emancipated, he's currently an Eved Kanani, but he's anticipating being emancipated in the future. Well, currently he's an Eved, and an Eved simply cannot marry a Jew, therefore won't work even if he gives the ring now, and he's saying he wants it to take effect when he is eligible later. O la'acha she'tishtachri, or if he says after you become emancipated, also cannot work because currently she's not eligible for marriage. La'acha she'yamos ba'alich, if he says, the man says to this woman, let's say the woman knows she's married, but let's say her husband's on his deathbed, he gives the ring and says, listen, I'm giving you a ring now, and when your husband dies, then we'll be married, it'll take into effect then. No, that can't work, of course, because she's currently an aishus ish, she's currently a married woman, and therefore not eligible to marry this other person. Similarly, if he says, olach shetamos achosich, after your sister dies, because a man is not allowed to marry a woman's sister if his original wife is still alive. That means once you marry one sister, the other sister is forever forbidden to you, even if you divorce your first wife, her sister, unless that woman dies, the sister dies. So then the other sister, who's alive, is now eligible for marriage. So the guy's giving her a ring and saying to her, listen, my ex, let's say, is your sister, or maybe even his current wife is your sister. When she dies, then we'll be married. Again, it cannot work because currently, it's not possible for him to marry this woman because her sister, who is his wife or his ex-wife, is still alive. Or if you have a woman who is still has to perform yibum or chalitza because her husband died without children, so now she has to first deal this chalitza process with her surviving brother-in-law, and a third-party guy says, here's a ring, when you finish the chalitza process, and then we'll be married. It's also going to work. Not going to work. In all those cases, she's not married because she's not currently eligible to get married. The case of the chalitza is a little more complicated. To Machlokas Tanaim, this Mishnah seems to go on like Rabbi Akiva, who holds that Kedushin Einan Tofes, and that you cannot marry a woman, even if you try to, if she hasn't yet performed chalitza, like any other prohibited marriage in the Torah. According to Rabbi Akiva, it can't take effect if the Torah prohibits it. Okay, so that's that. Now, V'chein. This last case is similar, but actually a little bit different. The similar part is, if you have a woman who has is pregnant, but has an unborn child, so that child's not eligible yet for Kedushin, meaning the father of that unborn child cannot accept Kedushin, like the ring, on behalf of the unborn girl, and say, when she's born, she's married to you. That cannot work, period, because she's considered to be something that's lo ba olamo, she hasn't come into the world yet. And notwithstanding that, we'll see that the Mishnah has a rabbinic overlay. It says inside, V'chein, ha'omer l'chavero, if a man says to his friend, im yalda ishtecha nekeva, if your daughter gives birth to a girl, harehi mekudeshesli, so I'm giving you now the kesef of Kedushin, and your daughter should be married to me when she is born, ene mekudeshes, that child is not bound by marriage when she is born, because she hadn't yet come to the world. So even though a father is entitled to accept Kedushin money on behalf of marrying off his daughter, but the daughter's not here yet, so she doesn't count, so therefore it can't take effect quite yet. Now, imhaisa eishes chavero mu'uberes v'hukar ubra. Now, if the woman is pregnant with a child, and the pregnancy is evident to all, meaning you have a big, you know, bump in her stomach, so we can point to the baby and say, listen, that baby in utero, that's the one I want to marry when it comes out. And he gives, the would-be husband gives the father the, you know, the kesef kedushin, the ring, whatever it is. So then, devar of kayamin, the Mishnah says, well, that does stand. Ve'im yalda nekeva, if the child comes out and it's a girl, mukudeshes, the child is treated as if she is married to this husband. Now, this actually still on a Doraisa level is a davar shlo ba'olamo. It's something which hasn't yet come into existence, so therefore, on a Doraisa level, the child can't be married yet. However, the rabbis felt, since there's something you're pointing to, it looks like it's here, so therefore they treated the child as if it were married, meaning that she cannot marry another man until she gets a get from this first husband, rabbinically. And more than that, if the man who gave the kesef kedushin to her father wants to marry her, he'll have to give her Kesef Kedushin, or her father Kesef Kedushin, again, to effect the real Kedushin, a Kedushin Midoraisa. But Midorabanan, we treat her as if she's married, since she at least was something to point to in this world.